Here in Psalm 119, one of the things that is a little different about this particular psalm is it has 176 verses. And they are grouped together in groups of eight. Now, if you multiply 8 times 22, you'll come up with 176. And each one of those groups of 8 are divided by the Hebrew alphabet. One letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I'm not much on what they are or any of those kind of things, and that's not where I'm going tonight. But what I want you to understand, and it's good to read. I mean, we've got a number of these verses that we learned from being a child. In verse number 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I mean, that's one of the first verses that I learned as a toddler was at church, because it tells us the value of the Word of God. And so that's what we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to focus on the value of the Word of God, and we're going to take all our passages, probably about 8 or 9 of them, and we're going to bring out some things from Psalm 119. All of them right from this particular psalm, but there's plenty of ammunition, right? 176 verses. So I'm not going to cover all 176 verses. We would be here a little longer than you would want, or maybe even I would want, if we covered them all. But the truth is, I want to focus on the value of the Word of God focused on this one psalm. It's 176 verses, and every single verse refers to the Word of God in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes it calls it thy precepts. Sometimes it calls it thy statutes. Sometimes it calls it thy word or thy commandments or thy law. But in one way or another, it always, every single verse out of the 176 verses refers to the Word of God in some way, shape, or form. And so I want to focus on some things tonight that'll help us and encourage us. And the Word of God is our strength. You know, that's one of the things we'll bring out tonight, is the fact that the devil wants to fight us when it comes to reading the Bible. He doesn't like us reading the Word of God because he knows, number one, it makes us stronger. And when we're stronger from the strength that is in the Word of God, the devil doesn't have as much power over us. And we can resist him better. So let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with verse 9. I'll read probably. We'll skip around because I've got some points I want to bring out here. But start with verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Look at verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Skip down to verse 28. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Go to verse 41. It says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Verse 42. "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, we come before you asking you to strengthen our desire for the Word of God and our commitment to the Word of God and our adherence to the Word of God. Help us to take heed every time the Bible says take heed. And help us to realize that there are things in this world that are going to pull us from your word, pull us from your law, and pull us from you. Lord, we pray for you to meet with us tonight. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. And Lord, we need to hear from him, not from the preacher. Let us do that tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to bring out some things here. The first thing I want to bring out in verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." I want you to understand that the Bible is a cleanser. It cleans us up. It's like a soap. And so the first thing I want to point out is it sanctifies us, because God's not going to use us if we're dirty. And the Word of God is the soap that we need to get clean. Jesus said, "Ye are made clean through the Word." That's what we need. The Bible scrubs us. The Bible helps us. The Bible makes us clean in God's eyes. And God wants clean vessels. I know I say this quite often, but it's important. Our world has lost the concept of holiness. And God wants holy vessels. He wants clean vessels. He wants vessels that He can use. Vessels that are making a difference. This morning we preached on Lot. Lot didn't have a clean vessel. Lot had a filthy vessel. There was no way that you could, like I said this morning, there was no way you could see any righteousness at all in the testimony of Lot. And you don't want that. Nowhere do you see where God used Lot. The devil used him real good to destroy his family, to join right in with the city and accept their policies and their perversions. But nowhere can you see where God called Lot into any service to do any task for him at all. Now, I'm going to tell you, God wanted Lot. God wants you and I. But He's not going to use a dirty vessel. And this verse here clearly tells us, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How are you going to get clean? "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The Bible is what's going to clean you up so God can use you. That's the only way we can do it. God's given us the soap, so to speak. Amen. But look at the next verse, number 11. We're going to go through some of these that we've already read and a few more. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So not only does the Bible sanctify us, but it also is a sin prevention. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, all sin, if you go back to the story of Joseph, you'll see where Joseph told Potiphar's wife, when she wanted to commit immorality with Joseph, that Joseph said, "I cannot do this thing against God. I cannot sin against my God." Every sin that we commit is against God. That's why it says, "that I might not sin against thee." When God sets a law down, it doesn't matter if we like the law or not. It doesn't matter if you rob a store, or if you kill somebody. Guess what? You're breaking the law, man's law, but even more importantly, you're breaking God's law. Because all laws, He's the lawgiver. He's the one that's in charge. He's the judge we're all going to stand before one day. And so what we need to realize is all sin is sin against Him. You hit somebody, it's like hitting Him. In Sunday school this morning, we were studying the passage where Jesus was being beaten and accused and crucified. It was hard to read. But I hate to think that if I hit somebody, that I'm hitting the Lord. But that's basically what the Bible says here. It says that if I'm doing any sin, it's just as bad. It may hurt somebody, it may hurt my testimony, but even more than that, what happens is I hurt the Lord. There was a preacher in Texas years ago. Amazing, amazing man. His name was J. Frank Norris. And he pastored, I want you to get this now, this was long before, started out long before there were airplane travel like we have today. But J. Frank Norris pastored the two largest churches in the country at the same time. Now you would think, well, they'd have to be close together. They weren't. One was in Fort Worth, Texas. The other one was in Detroit, Michigan. You say, how on earth did he do that? And he had the largest Sunday school. Both of those churches had the number one and number two largest Sunday school classes in the country at the same time. What he did, he was at this church one Sunday, he'd catch a train and he'd be up at the next church the following Sunday. And he'd be back and forth like that. And that's how he did it. But something hurt his testimony. A man came into his office and threatened him, and he shot and killed the man. Even though the jury found him not guilty, his testimony was never the same. Because he was threatened. The man was actually coming over the desk at him. And he pulled out, he had a gun in the drawer of his desk and shot and killed the man. The latter days of J. Frank Norris weren't near as great as the earlier days. But I want you to understand, we have to do everything we can to keep our testimony clean. Even if something happens like that, guess what? We have to do what we can. Will God hold him guilty for killing the man? No. Whether he could have handled it differently, maybe not let the man in or whatever, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. All we know is that the jury found him not guilty, but it hurt his testimony. And those churches suffered. But what happened was, if we stay in the Word of God, we have to realize we're trying to keep ourselves, not only get ourselves clean, but to keep ourselves clean. That's what the Bible does. Look at verse 28. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. I want you to get this. There are times we feel like we're inadequate. There are times when we feel weak. We can't handle the load we're under. We all go through those times. Let me explain to you. God has given us something to help strengthen us. When a weightlifter feels weak, he goes to the gym. Well, guess what? Here's our workout machine right here. Our spiritual workout machine is right here within the pages of God's Word. And it will strengthen us and make us strong and be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil and be able to withstand the temptations. We all face temptations. Sometimes it's a temptation to sleep in on Sunday mornings, isn't it? In the bulletin, it talks about the fact that the rooster crows and nobody thanks him. There are times when we had alarm clocks. Now most of us use our phones for our alarm clock, but when we had alarm clocks, I was tempted to throw the alarm clock. I'm still occasionally tempted to throw my phone, amen? But the truth is, the rooster is doing what he's supposed to do. And what we need to do is to realize the Word of God is doing what we need, and that strengthens us. It gives us what we need for the time, for the trial that we're going through. Look over at verse 41. It says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Now hold your place there, and I want you to go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We're familiar with 16 and 17, but sometimes we skip over verse 15. And it's a passage that we need to remember. And this is the Apostle Paul talking, writing to Timothy, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Boy, that's as good a statement about how to get saved as you'll find anywhere. You read the holy scriptures. He said, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When we knock on doors a lot of times, there are times we run into people that speak Spanish. And my Spanish is abysmal, okay? I know a few words, probably just enough to get me in trouble, amen? But the truth is, we've got some John and Romans back there in Spanish. And if nothing else, we try to get John and Romans in the hand of the people and encourage them. I know enough to call the Bible and tell them this is la palabra de Dios. That's the word of God. That's what the word of God means, says in Spanish. It's la palabra, the word, palabra is word, of Dios is God. And I tell them, la palabra de Dios. And I hand it to them. And then I say, el cielo, which is heaven. And some people use the term fierno, which is the fire or hell. But I like to use it just the way the Bible says it. And I say, no lago de fuego, which is not the lake of fire. El cielo, heaven. No lago de fuego, which is the lake of fire. Now, I know enough to do that. And like I said, I try to encourage them to read the word of God. And the word of God is what gives them the salvation. You and I learned about Jesus through the book. The book and the preaching of the book. And that's what we need to do, is to realize that the word of God is where we get salvation. How would we know about Jesus? How would we know that by grace are you saved through faith if it wasn't for the book? Look at verse 42. It says, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." So not only do we have sanctified, it's a sin prevention, it's strength, it's salvation, but also it's our solution. It's the answer. You got a problem? Hey, I guarantee you the Bible's got the answer. Maybe not the answer we want. Ever been there? Bible tells us, oh, you need to do it this way. Lord, do I have to? I was a child like that. I was kind of rebellious. But that's not what I want to do, Mom. You better do it. Well, after the spanking once or twice, I did it. But the truth is, we need to remember. Hey, after a while, I learned discomfort discourages disobedience. Amen? Right. My parents believed in that. And I learned it hard. It was a hard lesson for me, but I learned it. It took a while. Turn over to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. It says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. You know, the Bible teaches us what's right and what's wrong. So what's the next point? Safety. There's safety in following God's book. There's safety in learning what's right and wrong, because, I mean, let's face it. If you go, Sharon and I, we were in Kansas City, and I was a bus driver, and we did a, every once in a while, I would take a group of the students on a field trip, and she went with me one time and went over to the Kansas City Zoo. Now, that was interesting. I still can't believe she got on the sky ride. But what that sky ride did is it took us over the lions. Now, I got a little nervous there. And I'm looking down at those lions and looking up at that cable and say, Lord, please. But when they put those lions in cages, it's for our safety. And the Word of God is our cage. It keeps us from the harm. And if we don't heed to it, what we're going to do is we're going to step in the cage with the lion, because we've bypassed God's cage, God's protection. But I'm glad the Word of God is my safety. It's the safe place for me to be. It teaches me. It says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. I've been toying with the idea of teaching some of the dangerous cults and some of the belief systems here at church. And I don't know whether I'll do it on Wednesday night. May do it in Sunday school. I'm not sure. But some of the things like the... I mentioned this morning with the message about the Church of Christ. They believe you've got to be baptized to get to heaven. I'm sure glad the thief on the cross that didn't believe that. Right. By the way, some of those people, they say, well, he had to have gotten baptized somewhere down the line. I've heard that. I'm serious. I've heard that. Somewhere he had to get baptized. And I said, except for the fact it's really not baptism until you're saved. Okay? It's crazy stuff out there. But the truth is, what we need to do is realize that the Bible is our safety net. Jesus is our fire escape. He's the only fire escape. Look at verse 105. This one we're familiar with. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So not only do we have the safe and sanctified, are we sanctified, sin prevention, strength, salvation, solution, and safety, but now we have sight. How many of you walked around in the house without turning the light on and stubbed your toe or tripped over something or knocked something over? Hey, we've all probably done that. Guess what? It's a whole lot better when you can see. Amen? You'll whack your toe pretty good when you're walking around in the dark. Or you'll knock over something. And you don't turn the light on because the other people in the house, you don't want to wake up. And then you knock something over, and guess what? They wake up and, you okay? Where you at? What's going on? Hey, we've all done that. But praise God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can see where I'm going. I can see where I've been. And I can follow the footsteps of the Savior because I can see. Got two more. 162. Verse number 162. It says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I want you to understand, the word spoil had to do with when an army came in to a town and they conquered a city, the spoil was all the goods that they could get. Gold, silver, all the food, all the horses, all the cattle, anything they want. They would take slaves, anything. I want you to understand, the Word of God is our treasure. It's our spoil. It's our treasure. It's our valuables. Because it teaches us the value. The Bible says, better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and the trouble therewith. So the Bible is our treasure. It's our spoil. It's the wealth that we have. And Jesus tells us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And look at 158. And we'll finish with this one. It says, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. I want you to understand, the point here is sadness. I'm sad that people don't understand the value of God's word. They don't have the protection we have, the safety. They don't have the sight that we have. They don't have the solution we have. They don't have salvation because they don't go to the Word of God. And if they don't learn the value of God's book, odds are they're never going to get saved. How are they going to get saved? I had a guy on the bus. His name's Jeff. Oh, probably 5-6 months ago, he said, forget exactly what it was that he said, but he said, I'd go to church if I could find, but nobody can prove to me that the Bible's true. There's nothing in the Bible true. Well, I took that as a challenge. And Jeff and I he's been a lot more accommodating because I gave him some ammunition. There for about 2 or 3 weeks, I saw him a couple times a week anyway. And we would talk about the Bible. And I explained to him some things about how I knew the Bible was true. And that's what the Word of God wants us to do. That's what Jesus wants us to do, is to make a difference. Every time I talk to somebody that's not saved, my personal goal is to take them from where they are and get them closer to the Savior. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody get saved. You give them what you can. But the truth is, it breaks my heart. It grieves me, like the verse says here, when I see people transgressing against God's word, because I know that there's a payday someday and there's going to be a heavy cost for each one of these people that violates the word of God. And what we need to do is to make sure that we're not caught up in that crowd and we're making a difference. I started to preach on the salt tonight. Tonight, but one of the things I like about the term of the salt is Jesus says, if the salt have lost its savor, it is good for nothing. If we're not influencing people for Jesus, like it or not, we're good for nothing in God's eyes. If we're not making a difference, what good are we to the Lord, to His work? Whether we're passing out tracts, whether we're encouraging people, whether we're knocking doors, when we're calling people and inviting them to church, whatever we can do, even people in passing, we've got to make a difference. Do you realize, and I told the people in Kansas City, when I preached out of Matthew chapter 5 there, and I told them, I said, I did not move from Florida to Missouri to start another good-for-nothing church. There's plenty of them out there to choose from. We're going to be a good-for-Jesus church. And that's what Bible Baptist Church is going to be. A good-for-Jesus church. Not a good-for-nothing church. There's so many of them caught up in serving themselves and serving the world and following their own pleasures and what they think is what the world's been doing. And that's not what the Lord's called us to do. We're not going to be a Lions Club or a Kiwanis Club or whatever. We're going to be a church that the Lord blesses because we're going to do it His way. But it sure breaks my heart when I see people running from God's Word, running from Jesus. And I see our country going that way so fast. But the truth is, there needs to be a lighthouse. There needs to be a people that are going to stand right and be right and make a difference. And I want us to be those people. I want this church to be the lighthouse. If there's no other lighthouse in the area, Bible Baptist Church needs to be that lighthouse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, I pray that you'll do something mighty in the invitation. We thank you, Lord, for you giving us this blessed book. And Lord, help us study it. Help us to learn from it. Help us to follow it. It has so much value. Lord, it's just immeasurable. Lord, be with us during the invitation and help us to make that decision that you're prompting us to make. And Lord, watch over those that aren't here for whatever reason. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.